I'm going to be talking about creating and applying a value-added calculator to explore factors that create environmental sustainability. I'm working with a team of researchers from the University of Georgia, Dr. Bodhi Panisi, Velma Zaharowicz-Herbert, Genty Costantini, and Gary Pfeiffer is our county agent who's been instrumental in all of this. We all know that consumer horticulture has a huge footprint. They say 2% of U.S. land area is managed by gardeners and landscapers. 25 to 30% of the U.S. Urban area is managed by gardens and landscapes. 50%, more than 50% of urban green spaces in the U.S. is managed by gardeners and landscapers. In fact, I think it's 168,000 square miles of turf grass alone in the United States. That's an area almost the size of Texas. And turf grass never comes alone. It's always got flowers, bushes, and trees with it. So this landmass has to have a huge impact on environmental sustainability. As a background of this, we know that the residential landscapes and gardens contribute to environmental sustainability in a variety of ways. They moderate urban heat islands. They help maintain water quality and quantity. They protect pollinators, cycle carbon, et cetera, et cetera. But the challenge is there are very few studies of residential landscapes that are of significant scale to be meaningful. For example, it doesn't really matter what happens in one landscape or two landscapes or three landscapes. What matters is what happens in 100 or 1,000. And the other challenge that we have is that there's no explicit market value. There's no yield, sustainability yield, that we can assess, which means that the benefits of the environmental amenities on your landscape are often ignored and very underestimated by residents and urban policymakers. That's another problem. So to bypass this, we wanted to ask the question is how much is the homeowner actually paying for environmental amenities that help increase the sustainability of the home? And the objective of our overall study is to document and comprehensively measure the economic impact and benefits of environmental sustainability as embodied in residential landscapes. And what we want to do is to combine on-site environmental data with housing sales transaction data and detailed consumer purchase data to create and validate a model of landscape valuation based on actual consumer behavior. It's fairly easy to ask people, what would you pay for this? And they will say, oh, I'd pay $1,000 for this. But when I say, show me the money, they say, well, maybe 10. So this, our goal was to get at what they'd actually paid. And overall, this is what we were going to do. Dr. Panisi and I were going to visually evaluate the landscapes. And to do this, we had to develop a methodology to evaluate their contribution to environmental sustainability. Then we turned this over, the evaluated landscapes, over to Velma, who is a housing specialist. And she has access to all sales and purchase prices of houses in Atlanta. And she would use hedonic modeling to measure the actual price paid for those environmental sustainable amenities. And then Constantine Genty was going to take a look at household actual expenses for landscape as impacted by those environmental amenities. Now to do this, we chose Decatur, Georgia. And the reason we just chose it is because the community has detached single family houses. It's a single school district, which takes out a lot of the modeling problems because people will pay a lot more for a house in a specific school district. So that was good. And also the other public amenities are identical throughout Decatur. And also Decatur is a fully developed Atlanta community, which means that we can measure spillover effects in housing prices. For example, if I have the world's greatest pollinator yard, which means tons of flowers. That will actually increase the price, possibly increase the price of my neighbor's houses on point of sale. And in Decatur, you can measure that. Now, where I live in Griffin, if you look at the 50 houses for sale in Griffin on any given day, and you don't find what you want, you can buy an empty lot and build what you want. But you can't do that in Decatur. There are no empty lots. So they're forced to choose from what's on the table there. There are some real challenges to getting this environmental data. For one thing, they're residential landscapes. It's people's homes. You have to protect the privacy of the homeowners, and we're not even going to mention the dreaded IRB if we wanted to actually go into people's backyards. And the other thing is, we need about 200 plus houses to pull this study off. And we need them within a finite period of time, because what we'd do is assess all of the houses for sale, and they sell quickly in this neighborhood, and then we'll have the prices associated with that sale. So we need to do it fast and efficiently, and we need reproducible and accurate results. So we decided to focus on three areas of sustainability. Pollinator sustainability, which is essentially layers in the landscapes, and flowers. Energy sustainability, which in this study we defined as shade on the roof by either deciduous or non-deciduous trees, and also we counted wind blocks, but in truth this area is too small for anybody to be using wind blocks. And by water sustainability, we focused on water quality, and to measure that we looked at factors that would retain the water on the property, because that allows it to perk into the ground and clean itself. Then we had to decide what we were going to rate, okay? And we decided we would rate the front yard only, okay? And by the front yard, we mean from the heated and cooled corner of the house on one side to the heated and cooled corner of the house on the other side. Even if you can see the side yard, you can't rate that. And even if you can walk around and see the backyard, you can't rate that. So, and I know we're running into a danger here of what's known as the mullet effect, which is business in the front and party in the back. And we are aware of that because we were able to spend a good bit of time looking at these properties on Google. And on some of them, you can see the mullet effect clearly in action. But the long and short of it is half the yard is way better than none of the yard. And then we chose to use the DeKalb County Extension Master Gardener volunteers to do this evaluation, because they are well-trained and knowledgeable on the specific subjects. They're familiar with water conservation and quality. They know about BMPs. They're pretty good at plant ID, et cetera. They know how to work with the public. They're polite and presentable. If we have 10 master gardeners rating 20 houses, I mean, they can do it fast and efficiently. And we decided to run a pilot. So we trained 11 master gardener volunteers to do this last September. And here's what we trained them to do. We spent a lot of time on this checklist. And going out, we learned a lot of things. We had originally thought we would do it on an iPad. Disaster. You give, you know, mature people an iPad in poor sun, and they just got, they rated house number one and dropped down rows and got all lost. So we had to do color coding. We've got the numbers. You can see the houses are, you know, this is 111 Lamont Street, house number one, and it's house number one all the way across the spreadsheet. Okay, we asked them if the estimate whether the roof would be shaded at 10 a.m., 1 a.m., and 4 a.m., and whether it was partially, not at all shaded, partially shaded, or fully shaded. Then we asked them to do that with deciduous trees and with evergreen trees, because, you know, deciduous trees are a little better because they shade in the summer and let the sun shine in the winter. We asked them to get at layers. We asked them to measure the number of living trees in the front yard that were in these following categories: 5 inches DVH, 6 to 10 DVH, and 20 inch DVH. And then we had the small multi-stem trees, because there were a lot of those. We asked them to describe the slope of the yard and to determine if there was a retention or a terrace in the yard. We asked them to rate the vegetation from the most common type to the not present at all. And they rated bare soil, mulch, turf, weeds, shrubs, herbaceous. We asked them to count the number of downspouts and whether or not they were on pervious surfaces. We asked them if there was a rain barrel. We asked them about the sidewalks, the walkways, and the driveways, whether they were fully or partially or not at all impervious. We asked them to rate the flowers. And the flowers, we said 0 for none, 1 for a few, that would be a couple of pots. And if there was a square yard, it got a 2. And if it was 3, they got if they had more than a square yard. And we asked them to look at the types of erosion. And finally, for Velma, we rated curb appeal. Then we went through the neighborhood and we selected houses. Some of them were lousy for water, some of them were better for water, some of them were great for shade, some of them weren't so good for anything. And we had everybody rate them. By the time the master gardeners rated and we rated, we had 12 by 12, 44 correlations to look at. And we, within each category, we went through and looked at the numbers of significant correlations. And this is what we found. They did not have any trouble with roof shade and the wind blocks. They were really good at the number and size of living trees. They didn't have any trouble picking out the retention walls, slopes, or terraces. Vegetation coverage, they were good at that. The number of catchments and downspouts, they were terrible at it. We were terrible at it. That's a bad variable. Impervious surfaces, they got. Herbaceous flowers, they got. Erosion, they had some trouble with, but they're probably trainable. And finally, curb appeal, well, everybody's got a different opinion, you know? Basically, we decided that the master gardeners were pretty good at doing this. And if we left out number 8, they were really good at doing this. Number 8 was pretty far off. So what's next? Now we have to determine how these variables interact with each other, because even small trees provide some cooling of the house if they're not covering the roof, and all of the variables interact. Using a rank, predominant vegetation, most predominant, second most predominant, third most predominant, is a mistake, because statistically there isn't much you can do with that. And erosion needs more training, and flowers, I think both, we used a rank because we didn't want to address this issue. I'm trained as a plant pathologist, and this is 50% disease, and this is 50% disease, and you can see they don't look alike. And when you ask someone to say how much turf grass is there in that yard, 25% or 75%, they're essentially doing this in their head. Because they had so much trouble with the flowers, which was basically asking them to do this too, I think we just have to train them to do this in the future. And with that, I'd be glad to ask any questions. Yes, ma'am.
How did you choose? You said you were going through and picked houses. Mm-hmm. Some had different characteristics. Did you get like a list of the houses and randomly select them? Like, I'm interested.
We actually walked through the neighborhood and picked houses that we thought this should rank high for pollinators, this should rank low for pollinators, okay. This should rank high. So that, because we're testing our methodology here.
Got it.
We haven't, if this doesn't work, we can't do the study.
Right, so trying kind.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
So they had trouble with identifying your herbaceous flowers just because they're so far away. Is that the problem? Differentiating woody and herbaceous flowers? Is that?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean,
the issue with your herbaceous flowers was just.
Oh, I think it was that they couldn't. You know, I said if there's a pot of flowers, you give it a 1. If there's a square yard of flowers, and they don't all have to be in a square yard, but if you put them together in the yard and they equal a square yard, you give it a 2. If it's more than a, and see, that is a, that's
more of a compilation.
Exactly. That's that. I think we just have to train them to do that, and I think we can.
Okay.